Thank the light, everyone. I am Desmond, and this is my hetero life mate,
Batty the Chef, aka Parch the Hillman on Twitter.
We just watched season 1, episode 7 of The Wheel of Time, called The Dark Along the Ways.
Yes, we did.
I am just going to cut Justin loose because I know that, like, he's been wondering, are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Is this going to happen? What about Rand? Holy crap. So, yeah, feel free to start with some corrections and omissions if you need to, Justin, and then just move into what this episode means to you.
For sure. So, what's up, everybody? Like he said, corrections and what was the other word you used? I don't know. It was a good word.
Omissions.
That's what it was. So, corrections. Not really corrections. I see a lot of people complaining about Lan was so stoic in the books. And it's like, well, I want him to be more like Worf in, like, New Generation. Like, I have two emotions, angry and nothing. Lan. So, I mean, I think it would be kind of boring to watch. So I do like what they're giving him there. And then the people who just keep complaining about Moraine and Suan, it's like, if you read New Spring, it's all right there.
Which one is New Spring? How far in the series?
One, it's like they go back to.
But, like, what is it, like, fourth or fifth book in the series?
It's a prequel.
Oh.
It's all about Suan and Moraine.
Okay.
And, you know, and then the foretelling of the dragon. It's like 20 years, you know, before the dragon is born or whatever. But my cousin did kind of correct me. He said there is only about 1,000 or less Aes Sedai. I was like, oh, there's like 5,000. I thought there was a whole lot more. He's like, no, there's like a less than 1,000 right now in the world. There are more channelers than that in the world, but in the tower train, you know, Aes Sedai.
That makes sense.
And I don't know if that includes like initiates, you know, like the accepteds and the novices, or if that's, I think that's fully trained sisters as far as I could find in my research. And then, then the only other thing that I was saying is that I still think that the picture is a Tauriel, and that's kind of, I think, been confirmed, but I think that it allows them to enter the world of dreams in the flesh, which is, you know, considered very dangerous.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's more, you can be stronger there, but you can also, you know, kind of fall prey to stuff more than someone who dreams themselves there, which we'll see. I think as you go on, they're going to show you the difference.
Are you inceptionable in that space?
Yes. Yes. You can literally fall into like something called a dream shard, or you can fall into something that like you really want. So it's not even like a nightmare. You're just like, oh, I'm going to live happily ever after. And you never wake up.
What do you call it again?
Telon Riad is the world of dreams. A lot of channelers can just kind of like almost like open a door and step into it in the Age of Legends. But, you know, obviously they're kind of bringing that now. Or there are certain Tauriels that you can just channel a little bit into.
And I assume, especially if you walk in instead of dream in, if you die there, you're dead.
I mean, either way, if you die there, you're pretty much dead. But if you're in the flesh, then you're definitely dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, it's like, you know, I just think that most of people's complaints are they're trying to build characters really fast, and, you know, they can't spend a whole 3 chapters on Matt and Tom playing the flute in an inn.
Oh.
So, I mean, as much as I love that kind of stuff, it's not the best TV. It's like, oh, we don't need another walking Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, totally. And especially, I mean, if this goes well, like, I could see them doing like a 12 episode season maybe next or something like that, and being able to settle down a little bit. But to get out of the gate and get people invested, they got to do a lot in 8 episodes.
I really hope that they give them at least 10 from here on out. That would be great. 12 would be even better, but I think it keeps it moving fast. So,
well, the good news is they have, if nothing else, they'll get more leniency on how long the episodes are. You know, if an episode needs to be an hour 15, they'll let it.
Yeah. Like A Song of Ice and Fire, they started doing some like hour and a half or, you know, 90 minute episodes. It's like a mini movie, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, I guess jump into the episode. What the fuck, Matt? And oh my God, the cold open was amazing.
Holy mackerel. That's obviously Rand's mom.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you know about her from books and research, anything? Or is that as much as we're ever going to know about mom?
Like anything, there's bloodlines and stuff like that. What I can say without revealing too much, obviously she's the dragon's mom, and you see you know, Tam eventually. She didn't start out as an Aielman. She's an Andor woman, and she's a noble, actually.
Yeah, she's Andor as fuck. Like, they made sure that she was extra red-haired and super freckled just so we didn't get confused.
Yeah, she's not an Aiel. She's an Anderman. And yeah, she's definitely been part of that royal line. So, and she's obviously a bad bitch, dude. She kicks these guys' asses.
Well, and I'm so excited about the cold opens in general, because, like, a lot of times that's kind of lost on these movies, on these kinds of shows. Like, we just jump in to the first scene with the heroes and just charge forward. And I hope that this becomes a regular thing, that we kind of jump back and get a, like, who the fuck is this? You know, for 3 minutes before we come to present time and hang out with our heroes.
Absolutely. And like, well, and I think that Game of Thrones did it well. And then I actually watched Mindhunter, is a really good show. A lot of their cold opens you can do a lot of storytelling in a short cold open if people know a little background. And I think that they're doing well with it so far on their choices, and their execution has been amazing. This has been this is such an awesome cold open.
Dude, I'm watching the real life Mindhunter documentary right now. I forget. Oh, A City of Angels or something like that.
Oh, really?
It's totally the documentary version of Mindhunters, and it's so fucking good.
I know. God, they're amazing.
And it's crazy to see it in real life when you're like, holy crap, these are the acts. Like, during the late 70s, it was a weird time, because like murderers were realizing
serial killer. Yeah.
Murderers were realizing they could get away with everything, and cops were realizing we got to figure this shit out. And the two just collided head on in the early 80s. Total tangent. Done with that. We got a lot to get through this hour. Rand's mom kills a bunch of people. Dude comes along. I mean, he basically just takes pity on the baby. Like, he doesn't take pity on her necessarily, does he?
He sees that she's gonna, one, we don't know it's Tam right now, but we're guessing because we've seen the Heron Mark blade.
Yeah.
But I think it goes to show, you know, the person who raised the dragon at this point, and he's showing you, like, he's got to be the utmost character, or he's going to fall to the dark side, basically.
Yeah.
And they're showing you, this is the man that raised the dragon. And he obviously is a compassionate guy. He's not just going to stab her because he's supposed to. And she's obviously pregnant. So he's like, all right.
Because I assume he's a man. I always want to say swan, and I know that's not right. What is the?
Heron.
Heron. Yeah. And so he's kind of sworn to some society to do what they say. And so I assume that's why he's chasing this woman. And then his conscious mind takes over. No?
I mean, not exactly. It's more, there was something called layman's sin, which we can get into that on another episode. But long story short, the Aiel kind of had a peace offering with the king of Carhain. I'm not sure. It's where Moraine's from.
Okay.
And a matter of fact, she might have even been a lesser branch of his house. I can't remember exactly. I should check it out. But they gave him a cutting of this very important tree. And it would have been growing for years, and they were allowed to cross the waste to the land on the other side of the waste. And then he cut the tree down to make a throne. Really pissed the Aiel off. So they came to take his head. And so once they got his head, they just kept pillaging. And that was the Aiel War, is what they call it. On the slopes of Dragonmount is where they turned around to go home.
I smell a prequel.
That's why Rand was born there. I mean, the dragon. Wait, we're not seeing the episode yet.
Oh my god, holy crap.
So it's so obvious. If you've been paying attention, it's been hard to know.
Well, they
a dragon.
Yeah. And at the end of this episode, obviously they could be messing with us, but you know, so we go back to our heroes. They're in the Waygate, and you called it. I mean, it was in the book, so you just had to remember, but like, they explain the Waygate and how it used to be a beautiful oasis, and how now it's just a rundown. He's kept saying islands, though. Like,
it's like almost like they have these these pathways that were covered in grass, and it's beautiful. And they had the islands where like the little guideposts are, and they had fruit trees, and it was like this beautiful kind of like land outside of time.
Okay,
not anymore. They're definitely like impressively creepy and fucked up. I wondered how they were gonna do it, and it's like, you know, without having the hugest budget, I thought they did a great job, because that's how I always imagined it, just dark as shit and creepy and like, oh God, what is out there? And I was just like, Machin Shin.
Well, no, I guess not. Now, I think I just answered my question, because when they're obviously trying to read, like, they don't know where they're going if they can't read the
Uyghur script. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't read Uyghur script. They don't know nothing. And so, I mean, I think it's kind of like there's no real direction the way they describe it. It's just kind of like you just kind of walk and, you know, the guideposts are in different directions, but it's like.
Do the guideposts change? Like, because it seemed like there was no way to memorize this place ever. Like, you had like almost like the guidepost changed, or I don't know. I thought that was weird to, like,
honestly,
go ahead.
I might have to dive into a little bit more fan fiction on that, because that's something that I always kind of wondered. And just, you know, because I looked into so many other things about the power and stuff, that's one that would be worth looking into, because I that was the feeling that I got, is that they moved, or maybe the way wasn't the same twice, even though it kind of told you to go the same way. It's just, if they covered that, I missed it. And that's a really good question.
Yeah. Cool. As long as we're both confused.
One of the things, sweet, sufficiently confused. One of the things I noticed is Perrin is starting to come into his wolfiness. Rand's like, how did you even see that? It's so dark in here.
Yeah.
He's starting to get his like sight and stuff like that. He can see really good. And you can hear Peyton Fane whispering in the dark, dude.
Yes. Did you catch that? Yes. So they get, what do they call it? God, I'm losing all my words. The directions, the guidepost. The guidepost has been, Jesus Christ.
It's like stick chipped up and slashed, like kind of defaced.
Defaced. There we go. That's vagaried, what we're looking for.
Vagaried, if you will. Yeah.
So they just kind of, they're just kind of
defeated by those dirty, gross Trollocs.
So they're just kind of like resting. I forget what they're hoping to happen while they're resting. Are they hoping that they can eventually decipher the guideposts, or because you'd think,
yeah, he's trying to read the guidepost and be like, oh, you know, which way do we want to go? Because they're trying to go straight to the eye of the world.
Yes.
And,
yeah,
you know, that doesn't really work out, because it's like they end up, you know, having to just kind of go to the nearest way gate, and since they were kind of already there, the Faldara's it's, you know, right at the edge of the blight. So they're much, much closer, but not quite there.
So what drives them towards the closest gate is like all of the evils at once. Like, they get locusts, they get Trollocs, they get voices, they get
Machin Shin, baby. It's called the Black Wind. It's like, think of it as just like a tempest of insanity. And like, that's kind of what you're looking at, the locusts or whatever, and the voices, they're all kind of one thing. They see the Trolloc, because I think that Trolloc was stuck in there. That's what I'm assuming, because they come across some that kind of like just kind of ended up there, or maybe they were moving. Remember how they're like, oh, now we know how the Trollocs got into the two rivers, you know, obviously. And so now they're like, okay, you know, now, we were here. So in the books, I think there was many Trollocs, but you know, this one is just one. And like, I remember even I wrote it down. I'm like, Egwene channeled? Did she? No. Maybe.
Someone did. Egwene is. Oh yeah. No, Egwene definitely did.
Nope.
Oh no. Nynaeve did. Nynaeve and Rand did.
Yeah. Rand.
Yeah.
Rand.
But Nynaeve definitely did too. Cause she blasted another safety spell, basically just blew a bubble around everybody. And
that's definitely just an easy change from the books, because when they first are trying to get away from the Black Wind, they're trying to close the way gate, and it's almost like trying to push out of the way gate, and that's kind of what Moraine does to kind of like force it back in.
Oh,
and also if Padan Fain is following them, which he is, how the fuck did he get in the way gate? Who let him in? Because so far what I'm seeing is that you can only channel to get in and out of way gate, so I don't think he can channel. So who opened it and closed it for him?
So the whispers are definitely a single being.
The Machin Shin, it's called the Black Wind. That whole scene is based beside the Trolloc. It's just a machination of the dark, you know, just kind of evil. It's the corruption of the ways. It's the Tadon Sidine. It's the Dark One. You know, it makes you go insane. And they say that every voice you hear is everyone who's ever went insane, plus your own added to the mix.
So, all right, I'm right here. Let's get here. I want to go over everybody's bad omen. So Moraine, Machin Shin says, you're wrong about everything to Moraine. It's just, it's trying to get, you'll murder these children and call it heroism.
Just playing on everybody's biggest fear of, you know, it's like, you know, they tell Rand how, oh, she's never going to love you like you love her. And
Egwene gets, you're nothing, you're an imposter, you're a fraud. So yeah, she'll never be a wisdom. Rand,
they're trying to troll that dragon thing right up to the end.
Yeah, they are. Rand gets, Egwene will never love you as much as you love her. So he's sad. He's not going to get the girl. She left you once and she'll leave you again. And then they go to Perrin. You wanted Layla dead and out of the way.
Yeah. See, that one caught me off. Oh, that one caught me off guard.
Well, we get into this a lot too, because you loved another woman more than your wife. And then we find out later in this episode how much of the hots he's got for Egwene.
Is that it? Or is it, I mean, that's kind of how I took it. But then I don't know.
No, they definitely, when they get in that fight later on, like, because Nynaeve steps in and says, quit arguing about her. Yeah. Like she's something you can own or win.
Yeah, so that you can win or something. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It was a weird one. That one caught me off guard, which is a good thing. But it's like, I hope they're just kind of trolling to make you think because, who's actually going to, you know, end up? Because I don't know how they would really tie that together unless they do some major changes.
So that's a love triangle invented for the show.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's, I guess so. I think it's maybe just paranoia from the Black Wind kind of getting in their head a little bit, or, you know, what, I'm not sure exactly.
Well, because it's not like, the Black, I mean, later on, I guess maybe the Black Wind kind of drops those seeds in there, but they're,
yeah, that's what I kind of thought.
Just speaking from the heart. And then who's getting, you can't protect, Lan, you can't protect her, you'll watch her die.
Yeah, who's it saying? Does that mean Moraine or Nynaeve?
And then Nynaeve gets, you'll hear them scream just like you heard your parents.
No, that was rough.
And you'll do nothing to save them.
We know that's not true.
And you lost Matt, and now you lose the others one by one till you have nothing and no one. And then that's when she finally is just like, fuck you. And then she goes up and blasts the zone of terror so that they can open up the way gate and get out and go to.
And like Nynaeve can only channel at this point by just getting like super emotional. That's like her block. Like if she wanted to try to channel, she really can't right now. Or at least I think that's how it is in the books. I think that's kind of how they're implying, because she only channels, and which is kind of natural. You will just kind of channel in instinctively, generally speaking. But, you know, they're really like showing her like Egwene constantly, like consciously channeled already, even small as it was, you know. Nynaeve's doing this just by complete instinct, and it's crazy impressive.
Well, because she doesn't like, want
she's
to.
She's already so much stronger than Moraine. It's not even funny.
And Moraine knows
and
it.
And Moraine is one of the strongest women in the tower, and like they dwarf them. That was kind of something that I was a little bit annoying when Suan met Egwene and Nynaeve last episode. It's like, they're kind of supposed to be country bumpkin-y a little bit, and like they kind of be like meeting like some sort of god queen. So they like were just kind of like, hey, what's up? She's like, yeah, what are you telling this? Like, I mean, like, I don't know. They should have been a little bit more in awe, I guess.
I think they were. They just go into battle so quickly that it levels the playing field in half an episode instead of half a book.
I truly think that that's a big part of the problem with the book readers who are upset, is it's just like, well, they're just, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, they have to move through those three chapter emotions in about 30 seconds. It's you know, it's not going to be perfect.
This isn't a 30 year series, people.
Yeah. Yeah. I started reading when I was 15. It finished when I was like 40 almost.
And if they don't hit this first season out of the park, you're not going to get anything else.
Nope. Exactly. 100%. 100%.
You know what? If you like the books so much, go read the fucking books. This.
Yeah, it's an adaptation. You should check the dictionary definition. Just saying.
That's why the best Stephen King movies are the ones that are short stories, because they're like Shawshank Redemption. That is like verbatim out of the book, because it's only like a 200 page story. You try to adapt a 2000 page Stephen King book into a movie, you're going to miss some shit.
Or you're going to be disappointed with how it ends. I do like how in the new It, they're like, oh, yeah. Except even he's like, his cameo is like, yeah, the end sucks. Because the end of the first one was terrible. The end of the second one was pretty good.
Dude, the first one, I loved the first one. I was like, if this is all we get,
I meant like the John Ritter version.
Oh, God.
Settle down. Easy, buddy. Easy. It's all about the miniseries. Had the dude from like Little House on the Prairie. No, it wasn't Little House on the Prairie. It was like the Waltons or something. John Boy. He's just like, that's kind of what like Robert Jordan has done at this point. I feel like if they do it right, it's like he's created this wonderful world for people who are maybe better writers in certain ways than him to go play in the sandbox. So it's exciting.
Well, and he's, and this is such a great, like in the 90s, this was like, you know, like this show screams that it was written this year to show up, to showcase some badass women. Like the fact that this is a 30-year-old story. Yeah.
Yeah. Very ahead of its time. And he was really great at some of that and some of the stuff. He was great at his descriptive of like the, what they're doing with the costumes and the locales. Everything is so good. Oh my God. We got to see Uno today. Boom. It's awesome.
Who's it? Oh, is that, no, is that the,
he's the eye patched fucker.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's funny. He's funny. The actor playing him is a guy named Guy Roberts and he's like all over Twitter. He's really funny. Like he totally gets his character and he's like,
ah. Oh.
Uno's notorious for his curses. It's just flaming, bloody, goat-kissing sons of Trollocs and stuff like that. And he's just, he totally gets it. It's great. So it's good to see him on screen. It's pretty cool.
So is this definitely Lan's hometown? I know he's got family here.
No, it's, oh man, how do I explain the Borderlands? So Borderlands are like, man, like the Maginot Line in World War II. Like, I don't know how to describe it. They're like, you know, they're what keeps... They're the reason why people in Tyr don't even really know what Trollocs are.
Oh.
Because they keep them there. And there are times when, you know, the Dark One is stirring and other things have happened and they will get out of the Blight or whatever. But, you know, they're kind of like the guardians of the gate or something, if you will. And they're the reason why a lot of the world doesn't even believe that they exist anymore. But Lan is like, they were the vanguard of nations. But the Blight has already taken over Melchior. It was taken by the Shadow, basically, is how they describe it. We could get into that, too.
Oh, we're going to get into the Blight.
Oh, we're going to get into it so deep. Faldara looks amazing, by the way. It's a fortress city. It looks crazy, crazy cool.
So Moraine sends word back to the White Tower, to the Red Ajay, to be on the lookout for Matt.
The Red Aja.
The Red Ajay. Sorry,
I missed that a little bit. Is that what they were saying? She was telling them to watch for Matt.
It was a very quick line. And I think she knows Matt is no good. I think she's setting a trap for the Red Aja. Like
I think that she trusts Rand enough to know that even though Matt seems, you know, a little sketch, that he's actually still a good dude. So I think
because she doesn't.
She's
like...
super shrewd, man.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying I think if the Red Aja take on Matt in any capacity,
it'll keep both of them busy while she does what she's got to do.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, because I think that Leandrin is helping Peyton Fane fall in them through the ways. That's who I think it is. If it's not one of the Forsaken, then it's probably her. Just one man's opinion. And it was funny. One of the things I felt like Moraine, the second that she's talking to Aglomar, she seems distrustful of him.
Yes, big time.
So I wonder what she knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knows a lot. She's been out there just wandering the wasteland for a long time, picking up breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like talking some shit too. He's like, maybe you don't know about what we do here. We kill Trollocs because they're gross.
Trollocs are gross, people. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the love triangle between Rand and Egwene and Perrin, but Lan and Egwene, I did not see that coming this quick. I assume that was rushed also from the books, but
or maybe it never happened.
Oh, really? Okay.
They never get that close in the books. They start to pull apart immediately. I mean, they still are care for each other at this point, but at this point in the books, they're starting to realize like, I'm going to go be an Aes Sedai and you're going to do whatever you're going to do. And I don't think that it's in the cards for us. They're kind of coming to that conclusion right now in the book timelines, you know? And I think that they were just kind of like, oh, well, we're going to give you guys this. And then you'll probably, they might not be after this next episode. They might not be in another scene together till the end. Yeah.
So before we get there, not the wisdom. What's the truth teller, the fortune teller?
Oh, Min Farshaw. Oh, she's a side character in the books, but she's very, very important.
She is super powerful. She looks right into the four kids' souls and sees their
future. She's like an oracle. It doesn't really, she can't channel or anything. It's just like, she just gets visions. And like, if she knows what they mean, they always come true.
Oh, okay. The Rand's got a baby. Perrin's a wolf boy.
Yeah. The white flame and then the ring of gold, which that has to do with Nynaeve and Lan. She kind of sees like the light sparkling all around them. It's because like that's supposed to be representative of their spark of light against the dark.
And the fact that they're connected too, like she alludes the fact that they're more powerful together. Like they are connected on another level.
Yeah. Even if they're not like physically together, as long as they're kind of working towards the same, you know, kind of means.
They're all a Horcrux. They're all four of them are a Horcrux of the red dragon.
Of the dragon, there's the five headed dragon for you right there. They're all pieces of the soul. Hold on. Wrong story. Shit.
We just did, for Time Pop, we just did Prisoner of Azkaban. So good.
Nice.
So great.
That's an underrated one.
So, yeah, I don't want to rush to the end too fast. Like, I know we want to get to the end and talk about some stuff, but I feel like I'm starting to skip. I just feel like I'm starting to skip over some stuff.
No, we're going really good. I would say, like, Nynaeve obviously is really feeling herself because she kind of just like, what about this? And then, you know.
Oh, and we learn that she's not tracking Lan. She is connected to Lan, I think.
Not really connected. She's just kind of stalking him at this point.
Well, no, but the way she found him before, though, but we know that she, quote unquote, tracked him before. And now it's kind of like, I don't know if that's like footstep watching tracking. That's connected following his spirit.
Yeah, I think they're trying to show maybe a little bit almost like they're already starting to build the Aes Sedai water bond without the power, you know? Well, and like, they're poking holes in somebody's story with like real things when they're trying to like decide like, oh, you know, is she lying? You know, oh no, she can bend the truth. You know, she can tiptoe around it and stuff. And so it's like, they still don't trust Moraine. I'm wondering if they're going to,
And they find out they kind of alluded to it last time, but they find out that, you know, when they all go to the eye. So I don't know how much you can say without spoiling everything. Why? So all five of them go to the Eye of the Dragon, or is it the Eye of the Dragon?
Eye of the World.
And whoever is the dragon survives, and the other four will just instantly be disintegrated. What is the?
See, I don't know why. I'm not sure what they're trying to set up with that. I just think it's more like, you know, because of Luz Theron, you know, he killed everybody he cared about. So I think they're just trying to reinforce that. Maybe like, you know, if you're not the dragon, you either die in the battle or the dragon will kill you. You know, I don't understand exactly.
Because is the eye? Because that's what I guess I don't understand is how. Because the dragon is either all good or all bad, but the eye of the dragon, the eye of the world is definitely going to make him bad.
I mean, it's just.
So why do they have to go?
It's not that it's going to make him bad. It's that like what they don't explain about the eye of the world is that it's actually like a huge like reservoir of Sidine. And it's supposed to be, it's like part of the prophecies of the dragon. Like you can't tap that unless you're the dragon like that. Like, it's like a soul lock or something. I don't know. Like no one can touch it except him. Cause he was the one who put it there in the first place.
So he's going to jump in and he's either going to come out.
It's kind of like how he kind of like proclaims himself to the world.
Is that I'm the one who can wield this power.
Yeah. And then also like Moraine goes through some stuff and one of the Forsaken, like I said, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's much further in the story, but I almost wonder if she might disappear for what to take that however you want after this 8th episode, because she's I don't see how they could do that actually, but I was almost like she might disappear for a while because she goes through some shit and disappears in the books for a while and comes back. But like I said, I can't say much more without kind of giving away potential future storylines that are really cool.
Yeah, as an uninitiated, I'm like, I'm really confused because half the time they're like, well, the dragon's either going to save the world or destroy it. But then also, yeah. But then also Moraine will just be like, oh, as soon as we get to the Eye of the World, we're all dead. It's like, oh, that's not really a 50-50 shot that you were setting up.
I know. Can I get a 60-40 odds? No. Seriously. If you go, you're dead. We're all dead. Your mom's dead. Everyone's dead. Your dogs are dead. Bella dead. Everybody's dead. Matt's already. He's dead already. Just kidding.
Yeah. No. And like, I'm curious to know whose lands people are in Faldara. He has. It seems almost they explain it as almost like extended family, but it's kind of like the people who served his house and stuff like that, retainers from Malkier that have been kind of folded into the other borderland nations.
You're just making words up now.
Yeah, I just you could, thought it was real.
You could just,
where am I right now? What is the story?
What is the house of Shibbity Blah and the eye of the
House of Aglabar Jagad, and we're near the borderlands. What are you saying?
Once the gondola gets the peak of the dragon mount, we're all going to die.
They're dark friends. They're dark friends. They're dark friends. That's your answer for everything.
So we alluded to it, but just to hammer it in, Lan and Egwene get diggity down.
No, that's dirty. Lan and Nynaeve.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Now I'm forming a love.
Now you're going daddy issues, Egwene.
This is daddy issues, Egwene.
It's not a love triangle anymore. It's a love parallelogram.
Triad.
And then Rand goes out to hate shoot his bow and arrow. Just anger some bolts into some hay. So
they can't show him angrily jerking off. So they just show him shoot some fucking arrows. God damn it.
So does he does a bunch of bad shooting and then he goes and talks to the bartender? Well, because it's so weird because he's shooting his bow and arrow and he's doing a really bad job. And then he has a dream that he's the dragon reborn. And then he goes down and hits a couple.
You mean he's doing a bad job? Can you shoot like that?
Well,
can't shoot like that.
Compared to the three bullseyes he hits after that, because then
I think that's kind of for book readers. He does something called the flame and the void. It's kind of like they've showed you, especially if any of you guys have watched the kind of origin story when they talk about Sidar. When they talk about smoking cigars, it's
yeah.
Awesome. When they talk about Sidar, it's like the rosebud or, you know, the flower petal, and you open up and you embrace Sidar. Well, the male kind of anagram for channeling is much more kind of violent and forceful. And so I think they're just kind of trying to
penetrate it.
But I think they're trying to, like, the way he fills a flame in his mind and he feeds all his fear and hate and emotion into it. And then he gets calm and that's why he shoots better. And that's also how he kind of embrace this idea and channels too eventually.
But this is like the first time it's happened, though. It seems like he's like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that's like his dad taught it to him
when he was, his dad taught him the flame and the void as like an archery thing, because in the Two Rivers, like, they have archery contests and stuff. So that's how he learned it. But like, he didn't learn it like for, you know, killing people and fighting and stuff like that. So
he learned it for picking berries for his dumb girlfriend.
Dude, and you can tell, I think this is the episode that they started, like, they had to take a break for COVID, and I think they might have shot a few scenes, but, like, you know, it's like you can tell Rand and Perrin both bulked up a little bit, especially Rand. He was really skinny and he's definitely got some, like, that's good because they're both supposed to be big dudes, so I'm liking that. And Perrin's definitely growing on me as an actor, because he's just like quiet, but he's like, I will tear your arms off if you mess with me, just leave me alone.
Okay, so I'm getting all my order right. So yeah, so he's doing some, you know, better bow and arrow shooting than I'll ever do, but for him he's doing bad shooting. Egwene comes and talks to him, they make up, and then he just starts throwing darts now, and then everything starts rushing back to him. He's remembering, and then this is when he realizes that he channeled to knock the door down in episode 2 or 3, and he channeled earlier in this episode when he was saving Egwene, and then that's when he goes to the bartender and says, level with me.
Yeah, and then she kind of lets him know that she's a dragon, and like, I do kind of dig that, because I think it will help. Like, there's a lot of, like, him just kind of like, you know, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. I need to come to terms with being the dragon. It's like, they really aren't going to be able to do that. So they're going to have to do it in subtle ways. And I think that's going to be like, that's good storytelling. And the fact, at least, it's like, okay, yeah, dude, quit trying to deny it. You're the guy. Get your shit together and let's go.
this is your call. This is the classic hero's journey. You got to have.
And you know what? Like I said, Egwene's a liar, because if anything, she will not always stand by him. She's a butthole.
Who is he carrying out while he's having his visions? Who is he carrying out into the woods?
His dad.
That is his dad? So did we just...
Yeah, it's his dad.
Did we just miss that in the first episode that he... after?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of the things I was talking... I might have talked about it in the first pod. It's like, you know, a lot of that first, you know, while everything's happening in town on Winter Night and the Trollocs are just destroying Aemon's Field, Two Rivers, he's on his way into town with Tam. So he misses that. He hides from a couple of, you know, like brigades of Trollocs or whatever. And so they're going back to fill in blanks, like I said they would. I think that's what, the more control that Rafe gets, the more, you know, like I said, that's almost like a cold open. You can tell a lot of story in about 4 minutes.
No, but they were in their cabin when the Trollocs showed up and Dad grabbed his sword from under the bed and let some Trollocs have it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they wandered out into the woods.
Well, no, he had to, when he was injured, he had to take them all the way into the Two Rivers from their house.
Oh, so they live on the outskirts.
Yeah, they live far away from town. So that was them kind of getting back to town. And then when everybody was getting just destroyed, you know, they come rolling into town the next morning like, oh, what happened?
Okay.
And he tells him, he's like, he starts having fever dreams, or not Rand, sorry, Tam starts having fever dreams. And he's like, oh, Rand's a good name, you know, and when he brings home, you know, he gets married. He was married. He went off to fight and he comes home with a baby. And his wife was like, oh, I've always wanted a baby. We'll call him Rand, you know.
And that is why I'm so excited. I'm going to tell the listeners out there. So one of the first things we're going to do in the off season is we're going to do full episode commentaries. And you just highlighted a perfect reason why I'm excited about it. So in the first episode, you can be like, see, they're way over here. Town's over here. This is that moment in the third episode where he's dragging his dad's bones.
I really hope they keep doing that kind of stuff, because like I said, some of the people I think that are having some story issues right now will probably kind of get over it, because you know, I think they're doing the best they can to flesh out these characters as much as they can in one season, so that they can
leave some surprises for season two and three.
Yeah,
and they do some flashbacks and go, oh, instead of,
yeah.
Because, yeah, when you've read all of the books, you probably kind of in your mind, you're thinking through the story in order. And even and a lot of people probably don't even remember. They're like, oh, wait, that wasn't book three. Like, even though it ties into book one.
Yeah, like, sometimes. Definitely.
It is true to the book if they don't mention that yet.
I don't. Yeah. And Robert Jordan didn't do a lot of that kind of backtracking. But you kind of, the way he wrote, you could go back. You would, it just kind of like, so you'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. And 2 weeks later, you're like, oh,
I get it.
Also, I think, I guess just moving along. So I'm pretty sure Lan cannot mask his bond. So Moraine knows all that dirtiness.
She can only mask. I thought when she masked it, cut their ties completely.
No. Like she can mask and unmask it at will because she's a channeler. But I don't think he can do that. He can kind of tuck his emotions away as like a warder, you know, but like not completely, you know.
That dirty girl.
I know. You know what she was doing.
She knows all of his. But she did say before, she's like, I do like the wisdom. So she knows the land's been having
thoughts. They're definitely, mm-hmm. They're foreshadowing the shit out of that. That's why I was saying that Moraine may disappear faster than you think, faster than I think, maybe, because they seem like they're trying to rush the bond pass. To Nynaeve.
And if Moraine is going to disappear sooner than later, she is in the perfect place for it, because Rand goes, knocks on Moraine's door and says, I talked to the bartender. I am the one. Let's bounce so we can save everybody else.
Yeah. So, he comes to terms with the fact that he channeled. He was like, I love how they showed it when they were in the ways too. When he channeled and you see the Sidene, the wrap around the whiteness when he's channeling, you know, like the you can see the taint and the corruption.
Because he simultaneously covers Egwene and blasts a Trolloc, so they're already showing like this guy's no joke, you know, if he can channel in two directions at once.
God, blood and ashes. If someone doesn't call Rand Sheepherder soon, I'm gonna punch myself in the dick.
You just did. Who's Rand?
Sheep herder.
A nerf herder?
Land calls them Land doesn't call any of them by their names in the book. He just calls them sheep herder and like gambler. hey you
chief. A lot of chiefs getting thrown out by Land.
hey big guy, let's pick your toys up. Let's go on.
Perrin, I just want Perrin to look at him and go, if you call me sport one more time.
Yeah, I'm gonna wolf out and fight you. I was hoping that Min might get her. I don't know if you, they did a good job of keeping it on the down low, and you can cut this if you want, but Min is very, very important to Rand, and she will continue to be.
Which one is Min?
Sorry. The Oracle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I keep calling her the bartender because I couldn't remember. Yeah. I'm glad she's going to come back.
Give her name. She's going to be here for a while. She's awesome.
Awesome. I love her because, yeah, that's one of those characters that we could never see her again, or she could become integral in either way. I'm excited.
If she doesn't start calling him Woolhead or Sheepherder soon, I'm going to freak out.
Red. They at least should call him Red.
Yeah. Gosh.
Rand? I don't know about Rand. Come over here, Red.
Gray eyes.
I don't know why. Like in Game of Thrones, like all of the drinking just seems so normal. I don't even know it. But I get really excited to watch all these people sit down and just chug some mead. I don't know why. It I guess because they're young, and I think it's because in the first episode, like the first thing you see is a table full of women just getting shit housed, and it's just like, yeah,
Wheel of Time, YOLO, do it.
Exactly. Thank the light.
I'm gonna get shit housed off some mead and brandy.
Mead.
I did like that they really showing the empathy that Tam has and helping her give birth to the baby and taking the baby. It's like it's really informative on Rand's character, so I think it's definitely important.
Oh my god, this is beautiful, Justin. Like we're doing this so quickly that there isn't. I was just gonna check Wikipedia to make sure I wasn't missing anything, and there is not an episode description yet of this episode in Wikipedia. So if you're faster than Wikipedia, that's fucking fast.
Yeah, I say that's good stuff.
I am so excited for the next episode. Like this was a perfect, like, you know, we did the first four, just like, holy crap, that's a lot. And then five and six was.
And it was like, okay, we're kind of story building, world building.
Yeah. And then this one is like, they're setting up the big finale. And I haven't watched a show in real time in so fucking long. It's going to be.
Dude, I know. You wait till it's out and then binge it.
Yeah, totally. Like I didn't start Game of Thrones until 3 months ago, and I just plowed through it. And I am like anxious and also super excited for this off season to like think about. Like I go back to like Lost. Like Lost was, I mean, Lost is the reason I have a podcast, because I started watching Lost and I was like, what in the fuck is going on? And I found these things called podcasts. And I would watch an episode of Lost, and then I would listen to four podcasts all week. It's just so.
Dude, that's God. I can't believe you mentioned Lost, because I've been texting with my cousin. You know, he's definitely a Wheel of Time dude, and he's not loving it like I'm loving it. I mean, he's still on the fence, but he wants to love it really bad. But he's just like, man, he's got a lot of the complaints that what a lot of the people on Twitter are calling book cloaks, because they're just like. Man, I don't. Why are there so many gay characters and people of color and power? Just like that's the way the world was when it broke. Everyone got jumbled. Part it's storytelling. Check it out.
Your favorite movie is books.
Come on, Leslie.
N stands for nerd. His favorite movie.
Thomas is N. Hammer stands
books.
For nerd.
Oh.
Yeah, and like it's gonna be awesome, because there's so many deep dives, and I think there's so much to. It's one of those stories that's just so huge. It's like I really am trying my best to put it myself in the shoes of someone who's never seen it, but it's impossible. So it's like there's a lot of things that I'm sure people are watching, going, "What the fuck is happening?"
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, this is happening because of this, and that's this, and I'm relating it to so much stuff. So it's been great for me, but like my cousin's just like, I don't know, man. And he was the one who
brought up Lost, he's like, they can't fish everything with flashbacks. Haven't you seen Lost? It's like, no wonder you're so optimistic. Because I was like, I never really watched Lost. He's like, no wonder you're so optimistic. You've never had your fucking heart broken.
See, and I will challenge your cousin right now. I am not excited about how Lost ended, but I would never trade the 6 seasons of fun I got out of that show. Like, I did not let the finale ruin how much I enjoyed that show. Like, I will stand by anyone who says the finale could have been better. I have no doubts about that. But that show was an amazing ride, and I would take it again in a heartbeat.
I'm still not going to watch it.
And this one, I think I don't blame you. I don't. Lost is definitely one of those shows that I don't know that it holds up. Like, that was a moment in time. Like, I don't even know if Lost could exist today in this, like, bingey, you know, world that we live in. Like, I don't know. Maybe it would be better because if Amazon could do it and they wouldn't be beholden to 42-minute episodes, who knows? Maybe Lost would have been better.
Yeah, all those commercials.
I love commercials. I pee a lot. God bless commercials.
I do. I pee a lot now, too. God damn.
I'm getting
old, man.
Hey, I'm getting, I went and got my doctor's appointment the other day. I'm going to be 45 in a week. I am healthy, and I still got to go get stabbed in both angles. There you go, listeners.
Nope. I don't want to do it.
Yep. Butts and penises. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to get a tube down my throat, some fingers in my ass. Not in the party sense. It's going to be all bad.
I'm going to get it in the side in, and I'm going to get it in the side R.
sounds like not fun at all.
Both sides. I want to go on about this, but I think we've done a good job wrapping it up. And I think both of us are just excited to see what happens with the next episode. And then we can really wax on and on and on once the whole season is done. Do you have any last things to say about this or any other episodes or your hopes for the finale? Like, do you think it's going to be too much of a cliffhanger and it's going to just be like, fuck you guys? Or do you think they're going to give us something to really hold on to?
They fucking better not. I really hope they've been kind of keeping with the first book and the Eye of the World. And if they do the Eye of the World right, there should be a couple of Forsaken. There should be a lot of channeling by men. And there should be something called a Green Man, which just picture the Jolly Green Giant, except way cooler. And yeah, if they do it right, man, it's going to be, I have a raging nerd boner for this episode because it made me really happy. And I already know that we're going to get to see, I almost hope they do Winter Dragon next week because I know they're going to have, there's a Luz Theron Telemann sighting and I'm assuming the cold open, but I'm almost hoping it's like a better version of Winter Dragon. Is that Billy Zane? Did you hear Billy Zane?
Oh, Billy Zane!
I would love it if they casted him as someone, like, I don't care. Someone on Twitter said, and I would give you credit if I remember who it was because this is the most genius shit ever. It's like, I'm picturing him in Tombstone on his, like, St. Crispin's Day speech with his curly ass hair, and he's playing Luz Theron Telemann as, like, a gleeman on stage at an inn somewhere. I'm like, that would be amazing.
I want him to be a Trolloc that you barely recognize.
Oh, that's dumb. I hate that.
If by dumb you mean genius,
yeah, let's make him Jar Jar.
No. Oh, I was hoping to get a glimpse and to see at least how long next week's episode was. Like, hopefully it'll be at least an hour 15, if not a full 90 minutes.
God, I know. Just do 90 minutes for F's sake.
It's only eight episodes. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, I really hope that, you know, they're going to have a better budget for the next season, and they're going to have, you know, I just think they're going to have a little more rope, hopefully 2 more episodes. So I'm super excited to see where we go next week, and I can't wait for the off season to just predict and speculate. And that sounds great. I can't wait. Hopefully y'all join us.
While you're predicting and speculating out there, check out some other great shows at whatsoundsawesome.com. We got fitness and nutrition. Dude, they just interviewed a mathematician on Truth Not Trends. That episode won't be out for a while, but I'm just telling you, this is a great fitness show. They got authors and all that stuff. It's a great show. All the Answers is amazing. Katie is a fucking Aes Sedai. I don't care what you say. Like, Katie is a full-on wizard. She reads from the Akashic Records. Her and Cassidy tell dick and fart jokes, and then she goes super deep
It's awesome. All the answers. Time Pop is coming back, where we discuss a different time travel movie every week. Check that out. And Be Brave with Patty and Kara, interviewing awesome women, telling amazing stories and being brave. Please send us your emails at thankthelight@gmail.com. At thankthelight@gmail.com. Please send us your questions, your comments, your gripes. I still want to get a word. You know, if you like the mostly spoiler free, you want Justin to really go ham on the book stuff and see what's happening. We're definitely going to the first episode after this season. I am going to let Justin off the chain. So if you're worried about spoilers from the books, don't listen to next week's episode for episode 8. But then the episode after that, proceed with caution.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll get back to our format after that.
There's no format. Total chaos.
No pants.
Total chaos.
Hit us up at Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailment on Twitter, or hit us up at thankyoulight@gmail.com. And until next week, since we're in the borderlands, peace, favor your sword, motherfuckers. Later. I don't have permission to upload.
What?
That's what it says, motherfucker.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.